Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have a great show planned for you today. My guest will be Marco Borges. He's an exercise physiologist and founder of 22 Days Nutrition, and as well as an author. And I'm going to talk to you about his books, and he's going to tell us about 22 Days Nutrition. So he'll be on in a little bit. First, I want to talk to you about some things going on in and around my area and my world and things going on, and share a recipe with you, and then Marco will come on. So first, I just want to share with you this past weekend, IE Green hosted an incredible luncheon, farm-to-table luncheon for the Long Island Food Coalition. And the Long Island Food Coalition is a new organization, nonprofit organization that is being formed here on Long Island that is made up of organizations that care about our local food system, care about sustainability and organics. So everywhere from the North Shore Land Alliance, who are trying to preserve land, to Hofstra University, who has a sustainability program and is trying to educate young people about the need to become sustainable and what they can do career-wise in that arena. IE Green is a part. Slow Food North Shore is a member. Healthy Planet. Lots of great organizations that are really working on the ground to create a real food awareness here on Long Island. And it's challenging, the part of Long Island I live on. If you live all the way out in the East End, there's certainly a consciousness going on out there. And, of course, if you live in Brooklyn, there's certainly consciousness going on there. But in the middle, where I am located, Nassau County and Western Suffolk, there's really this void of a movement, and we're growing it. So I actually can't say there's a void, because there is a growing movement, but it's just a little couple of years behind. So we're really working hard to raise that awareness. And this was our first local farm tour of some of the local farms in our area, where people don't even know that there are farms. And we took a busload of 55 people on a coach bus to three different farms. And in the middle, they stopped here at IE Green, where I have my own homestead, where I grow all my own vegetables, and we raise bees and grow organic fruits and are trying our best to live as close to the land as we can here in Nassau County. So it was really great. We had a full three-course meal, actually more than three courses. We started with a watermelon avocado gazpacho. Then we had a field green salad. Then we had a pesto pasta on a quinoa and brown rice pasta. I made some vegan and some had cheese in it. And then there was grilled vegetables with a balsamic glaze. And for dessert, we had a raw vegan lemon raspberry cheesecake that is just a go-to dessert around here, especially in the summer. It's so refreshing, so easy to make, and so delicious. So all these recipes you can find on my website. They're also posted on the Progressive Radio Network's archives, so you can always find those. And I share a recipe every week, which I will do in just a little bit. But I also want to talk about some things that were in the news. I'm sure many of you saw the front page article in the New York Times this week about Coca-Cola funding a new nonprofit organization called the Global Energy Balance Network. And this, you know, again, looks like a really great organization that is talking about how important exercise is. But as you read into it a little bit more, you really find that Coca-Cola has funded not only this organization, but also the research being done at these universities by these scientists to promote exercise as the antidote to the obesity epidemic, with little regard for nutrition and diet. You know, Coca-Cola, of course, has been getting a bad rap, as they should, for promoting soda and all the other horrible foods, processed foods that they promote. And they are trying to turn and spin the rap around so that they are promoting exercise and that they are responsible for trying to raise people's fitness. And it's just not okay. You know, I always tell people you have to follow the money, and this is just such a perfect example of that. I mean, Coca-Cola is not an organization that is really working to try to turn around the obesity epidemic. They are really just trying to clean up their name. And so you need to really look and follow that money, you know, and it is just a perfect example of that. Another thing that was in the news this week that I was really happy about was I read this great article from the Sierra Club, and you can link it from my blog this week. But it was an article on the divestment movement that is really taking hold and spreading across universities around this country and even around the world. And it's really taking hold and spreading to other sectors of the world. We now have financial organizations, religious organizations, private companies. The Rockefeller Foundation made a big announcement that they were going to divest from fossil fuel companies after the global climate march. It's just really great. Cities of Minneapolis, Seattle, they're all making commitments to divest from fossil fuels. And all of us, or most of us, listening to this show have some sort of relationship with some sort of institution. Whether it's your old college alma mater or a child going to a school, we have the ability to put pressure on these institutions to divest from fossil fuel companies, which is really, really necessary so that the fossil fuel companies start feeling it in their pocket and start transitioning some of their money towards alternative energy sources, renewable energy sources like solar and wind and hydropower. We just can't keep going down the same path that we're going. So that was just really uplifting, and I was really glad to read about that. On my website every week I have petitions that you can sign, ways that you can take action, and this week is the same. There is a petition there to fight the DARK Act. I'm sure many of you have been listening and hearing about the bill that has passed the House of Representatives already and is now in the Senate to limit limit states' ability to create their own laws mandating GMO labeling. Instead, they are pushing for a federal bill that allows companies to voluntarily label if they want their products labeled with GMOs. And we know how that's going to go. However, you know, one would think if they're so proud of GMOs, why not label them? Let people know that they're genetically modified if they think they're so great. But the reality is, I don't think in people's hearts they really think it's so great. They see the writing on the wall. They know that there's people and countries across the world that are banning GMOs. So they're getting nervous, and rightfully so. But we need to keep up the fight, and we need to let our representatives know that we really want transparency in our food. We want to know what is going on. And Senator Sanders, Bernie Sanders, is a candidate that is really coming forward and speaking up about this. Of course, he is the senator from Vermont, where it is the first state that actually has passed the GMO labeling law without any contingencies, without needing to have the neighboring states follow suit, where Connecticut, although they passed the law, is still waiting for New York to jump on board and some of the other surrounding states in order for their bill to actually come into law. So please, we need to keep up the fight. Please sign any petitions that come your way. There's also a petition to fight childhood obesity. Childhood obesity is just in epidemic proportions, as is obesity amongst the general population, although we're starting to see some changes, but children are really at the mercy of their parents. And so we need to educate, we need to raise awareness, we need to push bills through schools for education. There's so much work to be done, and everyone can't do everything, I realize that, but everyone can do something. So please get involved, find an issue that you are passionate about, that you can wrap your heart around and your energies around, and volunteer and do some work towards making this world a better place, if we all just do a little bit, we can really make this world a better place, because the bad people, the Koch brothers, the big, mega corporations, the Monsantos of the world, they have so much money. We cannot compete with them, but we can compete with them in numbers and energy, and we really need to stand together and work together and turn some of these problems around. Okay, so I would like to now share with you a few things going on in and around the city, and then my recipe, and then I will invite my guest on. First, this weekend is the NOFA Summer Conference, which is always a great, great educational event. There's different conferences and talks and vendors and music going on all day long. So it's held up at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. The cost is varying depending on what things you sign up for, but check out the NOFA website for information on that. And if you can get away this weekend, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. I really recommend going up there. If you're staying local, August 15th, Gateway Community Gardens is having their vegetable sale. And Gateway Community Gardens is a community garden that Slow Food North Shore was involved in helping get off the ground. And it has been an instrumental force in Huntington Station, which is a really underserved community, really bringing different communities together. I mean, it's on one side of the garden is a project, and on the other side of the garden is a gated community right close to the train station. And this garden has transformed the area where there used to be a wooded area where, there was a shooting there a few years before we started the garden, vials of drugs all over the place, and it's completely been transformed, cleaned up, and that's what gardens can do. It brings people together, brings communities together, and it's just a really beautiful place. So if you can come to that vegetable sale, it's going to be from 10 to 2, and Sunday is the rain date. Also on this Saturday, there's a citywide farm work day in Manhattan. It's actually in the Bronx at 138th Street and Grand Concourse at the La Finca del Sur Urban Farm. It's the largest urban farm in the city. It's 2.5 acres. And it's a volunteer day of farm chores, lunch, and community building. Should be really great. You can find out more about that if you go to the La Finca del Sur website. I'll also be posting it on my website. August 16th, Crossroads Farm is in Melville, and they're having their first annual folk festival, and it's an all-day event from 1:30 to 8:30. There's going to be great food, craft vendors, music, all day long, so come on out to that. Wednesday, September 9th, Slow Food New York City is having their fourth annual fundraiser. It's called the Slowdown. That's at the Wyeth Hotel in Brooklyn from 7 to 10. You can go to the Slow Food New York City's website for more information there. Sunday, September 13th, is the Suffolk County Marathon, and that's a race that begins at the Heckscher Museum at 8 o'clock in the morning. You can go to the Suffolk County Marathon website to register for the race if you're interested in that. But after the race, there's going to be festivities and music in the park. A Taste of Long Island will be there highlighting products made on Long Island. I will be there serving up some great food that we have, that Suffolk County has been really working to improve the meal offerings at their local county facilities, like the county beaches. And so a few years ago, I went in, taught them how to make different salads and a homemade veggie burger, and they've been highlighting these products at the beaches for the last two summers, and we're going to be showing them off at this at this Taste of Long Island at the Suffolk County Marathon on September 13th. So if you can come to that, that should be great. September 17th through the 20th is a comprehensive engagement with the regional food system. That's going to be at Camp Shomria in Liberty, New York. And that should be an interesting event. There's also the local regional food shed conference coming up, and I'll give you more information about that next week. So lots of things going on in and around the city. So if you can take advantage of them, it's always fun. So this recipe is really quick, and that's why I'm sharing it with you, because in the summer, you don't want to spend a lot of time in the garden. I mean, I'm sorry, in the kitchen. You do want to spend a lot of time in the garden, but not in the kitchen. So this is a really quick garden stir fry, and it's basically whatever vegetables you're pulling out of the garden or that you have in your fridge. So this is what I had. One onion that I cut in half and sliced into crescent moons. I had an orange pepper. I cut into that strips. Of course, any color works. I chopped up some celery. It was about 3/4 cup. I put in 1 cup of string beans, 2 cups of broccoli florets. I used a bunch of my broccoli rabe, chopped that up, washed it, chopped it up. I had some mushrooms that I sliced up, about 1 cup. A head of bok choy that I used, chopped that up. Then 1.5 tablespoons of ginger, 1 tablespoon of nutritional yeast, 1 tablespoon of cilantro, 1 to 2 tablespoons of sriracha sauce, depending on how spicy you like it, 3 cloves of garlic minced, some olive oil for the stir fry, about 2 tablespoons of tamari, you can adjust that for your taste, 1 tablespoon dark sesame oil, 2 tablespoons mirin, which is a sweet rice wine that I use a lot, and I had 2 cups of cooked quinoa. So I just covered the bottom of the wok with oil, and when it was hot, I added the onions and cooked that for about 3 minutes. Then I added the green beans and the celery. Those are the next vegetables that I was using that take the longest to cook, so I gave those a head start. The idea when doing a stir-fry, obviously, is that all the vegetables are coming out done at the same time, so you cook them in the order of how long they take to cook. So starting with the onions, root vegetables, green beans and celery. I didn't have any carrots, believe it or not. If I had carrots, I would have put them in along with the onions. Continue cooking at medium-high heat for about 5 minutes. Then I added the broccoli, the pepper, and the mushrooms. Cooked those down a little bit. Then I added the greens, the bok choy and the broccoli rabe. Cooked those a little bit, added the tamari and the mirin. That adds some liquid to the wok and helps steam the vegetables to get them going a little faster. Then I added the nutritional yeast, the cilantro, which if you don't like cilantro, you can easily leave that out, substitute parsley, the sriracha sauce, the ginger, and the garlic, and mix those up. And so I didn't cook the ginger and the garlic too long because I didn't have that much, and so the flavor was just a little stronger by not cooking it too long. When all the vegetables were cooked together, I added the cooked quinoa, stirred it up, gave it a taste. I think I added a little bit more sriracha, which you can do, and that is it. Really, I'm telling you, 10 minutes from start to finish, and it was just really great. So I made it some tofu to go along on the side. I shared that recipe with you a few weeks ago, so you can put those together, and it's really wonderful. And now it's my pleasure to introduce my guest, Marco Borges. He is an author of 2 books, Power Moves, The 4 Motions to Transform Your Body for Life, and The 22-Day Revolution. And he's an exercise physiologist, and he's founder of 22 Days Nutrition, which advocates plant-based living. And I'm going to let him tell you more about what he does. Marco, are you with me?
I'm here. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you.
Good. So I've really enjoyed reading your book. I have it right here, The 22-Day Revolution. And it's filled with so many great recipes and lots of some good pictures too, but really great tips. So I wanted to, before we got into that, I first wanted you to share with my listeners some of your background and how you came to be an exercise physiologist.
Yeah, of course. My entire childhood, I remember wanting to be a doctor because I felt as though I was brought to this earth to help people. I enjoyed helping people. I enjoyed science as a kid. I really was fascinated by health and how the human body functioned. I grew up as an athlete, and I started basically pre-med school and realized very, very quickly that our medicine, the way we practice medicine, is extremely reactive, and I was way too a proactive person to follow this career path. I thought to myself, there's got to be something better that I can do. So I shifted gears and took on a second degree. So my background is in biology and exercise physiology, as you mentioned a few moments ago. And I decided that I would take a much more proactive approach to health and that I would help people stay healthy rather than treat them once they got ill. I'd keep them from getting ill. And that's really been my mission in life, to empower people with the tools they need for optimum health and optimum living, to be able to maintain their health and enjoy it for many, many years to come.
Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between an exercise physiologist and a physical therapist?
Great question. Physical therapist works primarily with injuries of the muscles, of the musculature, whereas you find that an exercise physiologist is more often than not working in some sort of a cardiac rehab setting, helping people who have either had heart disease or have had some sort of a heart attack or heart condition. That's where you more often than not will find an exercise physiologist, although there are many settings where you could definitely find them. But an exercise physiologist basically prescribes exercise to help people heal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so both really work, again, with somebody after they've already had some sort of injury or illness.
Correct.
But you do it a little different. You, like you said, you're proactive, so you're doing it, you're trying to work with people before they get sick, no?
Exactly. So I took my degrees and I opened my first fitness center in Miami, 1995. I think I was 22 years old when I opened my first club, and I realized that if you make it fun and you keep it engaging, people will they'll make it a part of their lives. They'll remain consistent, because at the end of the day, optimum health and wellness, there's one factor that leads to it all, and that's consistency. If we remain consistent, we obviously we can find success quite easily. And I realized very early on that exercise needed a something else. It wasn't just exercise that dictated health, wellness, or even weight. That the diet was much more important than the actual exercise that people were doing, and that's what led me to go down the path of nutrition, and then figure out that it was more than just nutrition and exercise. It was about habit formation, and that's the beauty of the 22-Day Revolution, is that I've coupled habit formation with plant-based nutrition, and that's where people truly find success. It's not just in trying a plant-based diet. It's about learning how to eat plant-based so that people can remain consistent way past the day that they think the program starts and ends. So we took 22 days because we've found that it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. So if you adopted a healthy habit over the course of 21 days, on the 22nd day, you'd be armed with new tools to be able to live a healthier life.
Uh-huh. And can you share with us some of those tips that you have in the 22-Day Revolution to help people break their bad habits and create new ones?
Yeah, of course. It's really quite simple in that we tried, we've tried over, this is a program that's been in development for over 20 years, and I realized that it was much easier to give people alternatives to the whether it was a terrible habit that they had or just a some dietary indiscretions that they were practicing. It's much easier to give people an option than to tell them not to do something. So we thought that it would be easiest to get people to practice a new lifestyle by giving them the tools they need to live that lifestyle. So in the 22-Day Revolution, we basically go through a step-by-step approach on how you should create the new life that you really want to live, and not just the life that you're living, by giving you recipes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, by giving you exercises every single day, exercises that don't require any equipment, that just use body weight. And then we take you through this process of understanding that optimum health is multifactorial. It's not just what you put into your body. It's not just exercise. It's exercise. It's what you put into your body. It's how much you sleep. It's how much love and intimacy you have in your life. It's how much and how well you manage stress. And when you take all of those factors and you have them all working in synchronicity, then is that you can find optimum health.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you heard at the beginning of the show, I talked about Coca-Cola supporting the new nonprofit Global Energy Balance Network. And they're trying to spin the obesity epidemic on putting the blame on the fact that people don't get enough exercise, and really poo-pooing that nutrition or diet has anything to do with that. Well, what are your thoughts on this new organization? Do you know of it, Global Energy Balance Network?
Yeah, no, I think that there's always a bit of truth to everything that you read, and that's the hook, right? It can't be absolutely blatant. They can't blame the obesity epidemic on Martians because we throw, you know, all of it out the window. But when there is a little bit of truth embedded into what is being delivered to you, then you assume that that it's all truth. And the reality is that, look, you know, as much as some people may want to be upset at Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola and General Mills and Kellogg's, the reality is that we have the autonomy over our health, right? So it's the one area of our lives where we have the most autonomy, where we can control how we feel, how we act, and what we put into our bodies all, you know, every single day. And while, yes, there are a ton of humongous food conglomerates out there that don't make it easier, at the end of the day, it's up to you to put it into your body. So,
right.
You know, as much as I'd love to say that, you know, there's this big conspiracy to make us all unhealthy, I'm the eternal optimist that thinks that these companies are giving us exactly what we're looking for. We have requested really inexpensive food that tastes great and require nothing more of them for many, many, many years. Everything will change the day we stop buying these foods, the day that we stop, you know, feeding this machine. When we stop buying GMOs, when we stop buying soda, when we stop buying candy, when we stop buying processed foods, they're not going to go bankrupt. They're going to shift their gears, and they're going to start giving us what it is we're looking for. And it won't be until then that these companies change their you know, operations, their offerings, the way that they treat their customers. So yes, you know, I'm aware of what's going on, but I'm much more of an optimist and much more of a proactive person than, you know, just sit back and react and say, well,
no,
you know, I believe that they're
I'm
doing
totally
that to
there
us.
With you. I think.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is empowering people. And when you empower people to
That's
make
it.
That, and, you know, as I was talking about, we need everybody on board. We have the power in numbers. And the more people that we can get to stop buying those products, you're right. Just like with divesting from fossil fuels, when I was talking about that, these oil companies, they're not going to go out of business. They're going to start transitioning
That's
towards
it.
Solar and towards
That's
wind
it.
If
That's
they're
it.
Not making money with oil. They're not,
That's
you know,
it.
They don't want to die. You're right. And so they're going to give us what we want if we divest from them. And so it's the same with the food companies. If we stop buying the GMOs, they will start creating products without the GMOs. Look at McDonald's.
Right.
McDonald's.
I sat with a friend yesterday who says to me, you know, we were sitting with a big group of people, and one of my buddies says to me, so this buddy of mine adopted our 22-day revolution program, lost 22 pounds in the first 22 days. I won't bore you with the back details, but basically he arrived at his doctor's office. The doctor gave him 3 prescriptions. The doctor is a professor of cardiology at Columbia University. He's extremely overweight, right? My friend is extremely overweight. Shows up to his cardiologist with some chest pains. He says, take these 3 prescriptions and come and see me in a couple of months and we'll see what's going on. Not what are you eating, how much exercise are you doing,
right,
what are you
doing? Right,
none of that. Just take these prescriptions, which you and I both know he probably would have been on for the rest of his life. And he calls me, says, I'm scared to death. I don't know what to do. You've been there all my life by my side, trying to, you know, push me in the right direction. I haven't listened, but you've never left my side. I want help. I need help. I'm ready to listen. What can I do? And I said, try it for 22 days. He did. He went 100% plant-based for 22 days, lost 22 pounds in 22 days. In 3 months and I would say 2 weeks, he lost 70 pounds. Went back to his doctor. The doctor could not believe that he had lost 70 pounds. First of all, he never took the first prescription. The doctor says, wow, I've never seen someone lose the weight and all of their symptoms disappear with these drugs. And he says, well, I'm really sorry to tell you, but I actually never took the prescriptions. I never even filled the prescriptions you sent me. I adopted a plant-based diet. And he says, wow, isn't that a bit extreme? I won't give you the rest of the story because you already know how it ends, right? So my buddy, a year and a half later, almost 2 years later actually, is still 70 pounds lighter. He's not running triathlons. He's running 100-mile bike races, which are the Grand Fondos that travel all over the U.S. He's living the life he never had. It's not like his life improved. He got a whole new life, okay? So we're sitting at a table with a bunch of friends, and they're all looking at him like, it's just amazing that you've done this. By the way, every single person at the table that hasn't seen him in a while is 100% committing to going 100% plant-based. And they ask him, well, how do you guys do it? You guys are together quite often. You guys are good friends. You know, what do you do? What, you know, is Marco your, like, go-to guy for vegan restaurants? And he says, you know, as a matter of fact, I think that we might go to, you know, one vegan restaurant a month, maybe two vegan restaurants a month. But the reality is we go to regular restaurants. And they're like, huh? And he says, yeah, you know, Marco taught me this thing is that, you know, if we go to regular restaurants and we ask for foods, more likely than not, you were going to open their eyes and create more awareness. And this is exactly what, you know, what I'm referring to when I talk about, you know, the big conglomerates. If you go to vegan restaurants exclusively, you're never going to teach the big steakhouses of the world that there's a better way. Those mm-hmm. restaurants are not going to disappear. When people stop ordering, you know, porterhouse steaks at a steakhouse and they're asking for more side dishes that are steamed vegetables and salads, something will change in the culture of that restaurant. It has to change. They don't want to go bankrupt. If they realize that 80% of their profits are coming from salads and side dishes, guess what's going to happen?
Right,
they're going to change their offering. Either that or they're going to go out of business. And quite frankly, I'm okay with either one of them. So to me, it's all about educating people, empowering them with the tools they need to be able to make healthier choices on a daily basis, and then encouraging them to go out there and spread the word.
You know, I've been saying that to people all the time. When you go to a restaurant, even if you're not a plant-based person, if you're a meat eater or a fish eater, say, you know, if you're going to order fish, you know, what fish is wild? What fish is, you know, raised sustainably? Or, you know, even those questions, again, is raising the awareness. But it was great. I was at a restaurant last night, and I don't go to restaurants that often because I usually am so disappointed. But it was wonderful to see they had so many raw food choices on the menu. You know, and plant-based menu. It was amazing.
Amazing.
They only had one meat dish on the whole menu, one poultry dish. They had, I think, four fish dishes, and then a full menu of everything else that was vegetarian. It was great.
That's amazing.
It was really nice. So, you know, you're right. We need to raise the awareness. And I have so often, I've gone in, you know, where they have wood-fired pizzas, and, you know, they might have, you know, something more, like a thing of just roasted vegetables as a side. So I'm like, well, can you put some roasted vegetables on the pizza?
That's
you know,
right.
Make me a pizza with roasted vegetables. And they're like, huh, good idea. Maybe I should add this to the menu. You know, they just don't think. And you can, you know, not be afraid to ask for what you want. You're a customer, you're paying, and they really are open. Most restaurants, I should say.
Yeah, you know, and it's not that they're not smart. Most of these people are in automatic mode because they have so much going on in their lives outside of work and at work that they're really not thinking creatively. And it's not until someone like you or I or someone else stops them and says, hey, did you ever think about putting those roasted vegetables on the pizza? That they're like, oh, and can you bring it to me without the cheese? They're like, oh, yeah, that works. And then when you order it two or three times in a row, they're like, hey, guess what? We've just added that to the menu. You
right,
know,
exactly.
People are loving
they have.
That.
Yeah, the restaurant I'm talking about has now added that, you know,
there you go.
Vegan pizza to their menu. It's great.
Fantastic.
So I know you work with a lot of celebrity clients. You know, how did you form that type of clientele? Is it just that they happen to be in Miami or you happen to be in California, or how did that happen?
You know, honestly, I wish I could tell you that there was some grand master plan that I followed, because it'd be easier for me to answer it to most people every time they ask me the same question. But the reality is that, you know, I love what I do. I've loved it my whole life. I grew up an athlete, like I said. I grew up knowing that I was put on this earth to help people. And I've always been extremely passionate about health and optimum wellness. And, you know, I guess that's infectious. You know, when you love what you do and you do it well, people find out about you. I had a lot of success early on in my career. I've been at this for 20, 5 years now, so it hasn't been a couple of days. The word just spreads when mm-hmm. you enjoy what you do. You'd be surprised what happens. I mean, I'm sure people ask you all the time how you got your radio show, and the reality is that it wasn't it might not have been planned.
It wasn't my ultimate plan either, right?
Yeah, it might not have been your ultimate plan from day one, but it's just something that happens because you really enjoy what you do. You love empowering people. You love putting out a great message, and you manifest it.
And
I believe that. Because I was truly enjoying what I was doing, and I happened to be really good at it, people were finding success in my program, and the word got around. And before you knew it, one person told another person told another person, and eventually it fell on the ears of someone that was in sports. And I started doing a lot of work with athletes, and then the athletes told their friends, and they had better seasons, and they were healing quicker, they were training harder, smarter, and it just kind of just grew from there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just fortunate enough to have friends and clients that were really enjoying and benefiting from what I was doing, and they shared the news with their friends.
Right.
And
then
it kind of just, took on a whole nother life. But, it wasn't my grand master plan. My plan was, I opened my first gym at 22. I was the first person to bring spinning to Florida. If you would have asked me back then, what would I be doing 20 years later, I probably would have told you, I don't know, I may have 100 of these gyms. Who knows? I don't think I had a real long-term plan then. I just wanted to continue enjoying myself and live with purpose and live with passion.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that eventually everything else would just come together. And fortunately,
it has. Right. I want to take a couple-minute break. And when we come back, I really want to talk about what sets your program apart from other vegan plans out there. Because there's a lot, but yours is a little different. So don't go anywhere. Everyone, I'll be right back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green and my guest, Marco Borges. Be right back.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices.
Next. It's a bowl of soul. Sweeter soul. Tune in and get your dose of classic soul and independent R&B music from the United States and abroad on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A Bowl of Soul is a music experience you won't forget or regret. Check out A Bowl of Soul on the Progressive Radio Network.
You're listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network, and I'm with my guest, Marco Borges, author of a great new book called The 22-Day Revolution. Mark, are you with me?
I'm here.
Great. So can you tell me what sets your program, your plant-based diet program, apart from so many of the others that are out there?
We have... I think that what we've done that's really exciting and has been really intriguing to most people is that we have coupled for the first time, we've coupled habit formation with plant-based nutrition. So as I said earlier, it's not so much about just eating a certain way for a short period of time or getting people to jump in 100% to a plant-based diet. It's a combination of a lot of different things, and it starts off with a simple concept, which is habit formation, understanding how we create habits and how we are basically manifestations of our habits, of our daily habits, and then coupling that with the marvelous benefits of plant-based nutrition. I mean, it's that simple. It's taking plant-based nutrition and habit formation and coupling them in a program that's pretty revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. And do you promote people doing a lot of cooking, or do you promote more, you know, some of the protein bars and stuff that I saw on your website? You have a website, the 22-Day Nutrition. You know, and I know when I go on there, you know, the products are more protein powders and protein bars. So where, how do you balance quick-grabbing type food versus food that is really cooked?
Well, ideally, we'd love to get people to prepare all their own meals and all their own food. In a perfect world, you'd create a lifestyle and create habits that would have you preparing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on a daily basis for you and your family, and eating foods that are as clean and as simple and as unprocessed as humanly possible. But at the same time, we also know that life is fluid and that it's not always as perfect as we'd like it to be. So while we are big advocates of making food from scratch and teaching people how to eat, because when you empower people with the tools to be able to create the food, you're not just giving them food, you're teaching them how to provide that food for them and their families, which is extremely powerful and healing and nurturing and does a lot of really great things for the family. But at the same time, we also, as a company, 22 Days Nutrition wants to provide plant-based lifestyle solutions. So what we do is we create energy bars and protein powders for those moments in life when life isn't as perfect as it should be. We're definitely not advocating you should be eating a bar for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and one of our smoothies for dessert. We're saying, hey, whenever it's not possible to eat a healthy meal, don't reach for a Snickers bar. Try to eat something that's a bit healthier. And our entire alliance, you know, is USDA organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, and 100% plant-based. So it's as clean as humanly possible. And I'm always the one that's challenging people to say, okay, so maybe you don't go 100% plant-based, but if you're going to eat a bar, a protein bar after your workout, why should that bar have to contain some animal products when you can get much greater benefits from eating something that's 100% plant-based? And then you get them to start moving in the direction of a plant-based diet because you allow them the solutions that they need to be able to live their life. And it's not about forcing people to live a certain way. It's about empowering people. That's all it is empowering people. And when you empower them, part of that empowerment is also giving them tools so that they can continue to live the life that they want to live, meaning that they all want to move towards optimum health. It's just allowing them to live it and to walk it at their pace. We've never been a group of individuals that are all or none, white or black, on or off. You're either with us or you're against us. It's let's educate people and let's invite them. Let's make this very inclusive. Let's not make this exclusive. And I think that the difference between us and other programs is you're either vegan or you're not vegan. And there's no two ways about it. And I think that a lot of times it can be very polarizing because it's scary. People don't know what to expect. They don't know what exactly it is they're getting themselves into. So when you see a program that the minute you walk in the door, it starts to judge you and the way that you live your life, I think that a lot of times it winds up turning people off. And I've heard that firsthand for many, many people. What we love about you is that you don't judge. And guess what? I started off as someone who was going to eat plant-based one day a week or one meal a day, and then eventually I felt so good about the decisions that I was making that it actually compelled me to do it full time. And guess what? Now my whole family is vegan. That would not have happened if you had judged me, you know, day one, or if you had said to me, it has to be all or none. And I think that because of the fact that we have been so inviting and so inclusive, it has allowed many more people that would never have tried plant-based nutrition to go 100% plant-based. And to me, that at the end of the day is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask you why you don't include soy? What do you find bad about soy?
Well, in many people's diets, it can be disruptive. We already know that soy is a common allergen, and you probably know this better than anyone else. It's the most commonly genetically modified organism on the planet.
But if you were getting organic, non-GMO soy, you still think it's not healthy?
Yeah, you know, I think soy tends to be pro-estrogenic in a lot of people, and it can be thyrotoxic. So I am not a huge advocate of soy. And the soy that we eat has been so manipulated and it's so processed that it's not the soy that we see the Asian cultures consuming and thriving off of. That's, you know, fermented. It's something that's completely different. So for that reason and many others, as in, it's the processed soy is in just about everything we shouldn't be eating, from cookies to crackers to chips and dips. And it's used basically so that we can say that food is vegan or that it's plant-based, but it's not necessarily good for you. And I think that those kind of foods and those kind of uses of plant-based foods give vegan diets a bad name, because I can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, my friend is a vegan and she's about 150 pounds overweight. And I said, well, maybe your friend's not eating the right foods. And if you mm-hmm. live off of processed foods, I mean, we know that Tostitos and salsa are vegan, but we shouldn't necessarily eat them. And if you do, it definitely shouldn't be a staple in your diet. And for that reason, I stay away from soy as I do gluten, because a lot of people are also allergic to gluten and don't even know it. And, you know, soy and gluten are one of those, are some of those foods that that are different than like peanuts. If you're allergic to peanuts, you could have a life-threatening reaction. But soy and gluten, you may not really know right away, and you may just feel odd, and you may have lived with this for many, many, many years, and you may think it's just a way that you feel. And over the years, I've found that the more people that walk away from gluten and soy, the more I hear from them, wow, my digestion changed. I digest food better. I don't feel bloated all the time. I don't have IBS. I sleep better. My skin is better. I have more clarity. I don't have fogginess. And you realize that a lot more people than you would imagine have sensitivities to soy and to gluten. So for that reason, we wanted to make it a program that was accessible to everyone but also beneficial for all. So we removed as many allergens from it as humanly possible. Knowing that gluten and that soy are common allergens, we thought that if we removed them from the program, it would be easier for more people to adhere to them.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what kind of foods do you promote to replace the protein that that meat eaters usually crave? You know, like I guess as a chef, as a vegetarian chef and very often a vegan chef, I guess I do use soy very often to replace that meat-centric item on the plate, you know, whether it's, like I said, you know, I shared that stir fry at the beginning that was completely vegan. But I said I made a tofu dish that was on the side, you know, so I had the tofu, then we had the vegetables, then we had a salad. So you have a full plate. What do you, use very often to supply or to replace that, craving that, more traditional meat eater would be wanting?
Well, as you know, there are so many different protein sources in the plant world. I mean, there are many, many more options for protein in the plant world than there are in the animal world. I mean, that's for starters. So we use a lot of beans. We use a lot of different legumes and a lot of different beans. We use seeds. We use nuts. And we use vegetables. Most people don't know that vegetables contain protein. Protein's just about everything, except it's in smaller quantities. So fruits, mm-hmm. vegetables, seeds, nuts, legumes, beans, grains have protein. And the beauty of it is that when you use beans and seeds and nuts and legumes, you wind up having a much more balanced diet because you're getting a little bit of everything from all of the different sources that you're using for protein. Whereas if you only use tofu, and a lot of vegans and vegetarians only use tofu, you're really missing out on that rainbow of nutrients that you should be taking in and that you can take in when you have a very diverse source of protein coming into your diet from plant-based options. So I'm a big proponent of variety in the diet. I'm a big proponent of following the seasons and going with the vegetables and the fruits that are in seasons. And I'm a big believer in variety. Variety is what gives us the abundance of the vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients that it is that will help us achieve optimum health and wellness.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I mean, variety is so important. And one thing that Rudolf Steiner said, are you familiar with Rudolf Steiner at all?
Yeah,
he's the founder of the Waldorf School movement and biodynamics. But he explained protein that comes from vegetables as being so much healthier because there's less protein in it, your organs actually have to work harder to extract the protein. And so your organs get to be exercised. It's like exercise for your organs to extract that protein. And I loved that analogy. You know, he said, you know, eating meat just makes your organs lethargic and sluggish because the protein is so easily available, they don't have to work at all to get it. So, you know, that's, you know, something that I think about and talk to people about a lot when I'm talking about getting protein from vegetables.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we also know that studies have found that the more animal protein you consume, the greater your risk factors are for diabetes, heart disease, stroke, and dementia, and many different types of cancer. So I think it's a really beautiful time to explore plant-based living because more and more information, more and more research is coming to light on a daily basis that really point in the direction that we've all known for many, many years is optimum health, and that is, you know, plant-based nutrition. So I'm excited to be a part of the movement. I'm excited to be where I am today, practicing what I practice and promoting the message that I promote.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it's a great one. And, you know, we all know that eating meat is also so bad for the environment and that a plant-based diet is really setting in motion a movement to improve the environment as well. And that's also a big benefit. So you're improving the health of your own health, but you're also improving the health of the planet. So that's a real, real plus. So for a regular person who wants to make the transition but is afraid of giving up everything that they're so used to loving, what advice would you have for them?
Try it for 22 days.
Uh-huh.
It's that simple. It will change your life. It'll change the way you feel. It'll change the way you sleep. You'll have increased energy. You'll have better sleep. You'll lose weight. Your cholesterol is going to improve. Your clarity is going to improve. You'll have better sex. You'll have a better mood. It's amazing. So I always encourage people to give it a try for 22 days. I mean, it's 3 weeks in a day. Who doesn't have 22 days to achieve?
And what in the 22-day revolution does is in the book that helps someone change the habit? I know you talk about the habit forming or formations and that we have to break those habits. How does this help you break that habit? Just by doing it? Or are there meditations that people do or affirmations?
Deliberate practice creates habits. And it's the deliberate practice over the course of 21 days that arm you with the tools you need on day 22 to be able to continue that practice. You don't think of brushing your teeth on a daily basis because it's something that you created a habit around. Imagine you thinking, oh, my God, I've got to take every single morning for the rest of my life and every night, and perhaps if you brush your teeth between meals, I've got to stop and do this chore on a daily basis forever and ever and ever. And that would seem like a really daunting task, and more likely than not, you probably wouldn't practice it if you thought of it like that. But you don't think of it like that because early on in life, you created a habit around it. And you started to brush your teeth, and you developed a habit around brushing your teeth, and now it's something you do automatic, and it's not something you think about. It's something that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to think about food and nutrition and about healing ourselves and treating our bodies well the way we think about brushing our teeth and showering and using, you know, whatever deodorant or cream or lotion or whatever it is that you do that are those deliberate actions that you practice on a daily basis. And the minute that we take our health and turn it into a deliberate action, it becomes effortless. And that, I think, is the magic of sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with us one of your favorite recipes from your book?
Absolutely. My walnut taco, raw walnut taco recipe is probably one of my favorites, and it's a huge fan favorite. And as you know, we use walnuts, which are full of heart-healthy omega-3 fatty acids. They've been known to protect the body against cancer. They have really special phytonutrients. They have the amino acid arginine, which helps with cardiovascular health. Tomatoes and avocados in them, which are full of antioxidant properties as well. Lycopene, just a really great dish that is incredibly delicious, but it's even more powerful than it is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. And is there anything
you.
That you are involved in now that you'd like to share with my audience that for them to check out on your website or an event or anything you'd like to share?
We're working on trying to move as many people as possible towards a plant-based diet using the 22-day revolution. So if you haven't already tried it, take 22 days. Take 22 days to try this unbelievable program that will change your life and empower you with the tools you need to live a healthier, happier life.
Sounds great. Great invitation. I will talk to my husband about it. I know that for me it would be much easier to do it with him. I mean, we eat mostly vegan, but we do eat some fish and some dairy. And so I'm going to, you know, I've gone through periods where I've gone vegan for, you know, a few months at a time, and I certainly can do it. But it's more challenging, you know. Like you said, when you go out to eat, you have to, you know, negotiate with the restaurants. But I'm up for the challenge. So I will let you know when I start, and I'll invite my audience to join me, and maybe we can get a whole group to do it.
I love it. Well, I look forward to your follow-up.
Great. I will do that. And everyone out there, thank you so much, Marco. It's been really, really wonderful. And everyone out there, thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Bhavani at I Eat Green on the Progressive Radio Network, and I'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.
Bye. I'm not afraid.